May you live your lives in the Lord, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. Mother Claire saw a gem-laden crown was given to us. After the vision of Sabine and Blue Habits, she was thinking about what Ezekiel said, and she heard, "This day will surely come." "Lord, is that you or Mother?" "Both," they chimed in. Jesus began, "Claire, our hearts are so united. Her thoughts are one and the same with mine. Even as you and I are connected, you can imagine that she is even more connected with me. In fact, of all living, her connection is the most perfected. It comes from a complete relinquishing of self. True is the statement that if you lose your life for my sake, you will surely gain it. Very few recognize the act of power they are doing when they give their lives to me. No strings attached. The disease of this world is self-will. It comes from a lack of faith in me and a desire to keep what should be shared and given up, namely your lives. Some souls have strongholds of self-sufficiency, self-will, and pride. They are convinced that they know what is best and will not yield their lives to me. They hold on tightly and will not let go. I cannot use them. They are bound to a mediocre life, drifting around according to their own desire. Children under instruction, I can only use those of you who totally abandon yourselves to my perfect will. Then I can do wonders with you. Look at what I have used Claire to do in your lives. She is a perfect example of someone who wandered around in self-will for 40 years. She was indeed a Christian before that, but had not yielded her life to my plans. So for 40 years she led a rather lackluster life, always wanting to be used, but never fully yielding. My heart goes out to you who are holding on for dear life to your own will. It takes a tremendous amount of grace and poverty of spirit to be able to admit, God, I've made a mess of my life. I am tired of myself. I give it all to you. Do with me as you please. I'm over myself. In your lives, I bring many breakings and some triumphs until you finally understand that without me, you can do nothing of enduring worth. Indeed, unless the seed falls to the ground, it will not bear fruit. If you do yield your life up, then I can multiply your victories and fruit, some 20%, some 50%, some 100%, which is a dignity that belongs only to my mother. She was chosen as the golden vessel to bring me forth into this world. She knows well the attitude of heart that is necessary. She has mothered many souls, whether they were aware or not. The words written in Scripture, "Do whatever He tells you," describe her perfectly. That is why I've entrusted the church into her hands. She will always say, "Do whatever He tells you." She has been bringing up saints for 2,000 years and will continue to do so throughout eternity. Blessed are the humble ones who see her in the sequence of events in my life. Without Mary, you would not have me. She brought me forth and received me back at the foot of the cross. Her mission successful and completed. I would like you to see her as the window of heaven through which I was incarnated. And in that same sense, I would like you to see her as that intercessor in heaven who most closely has my ear. When she brings me a cause, I know she has vetted it thoroughly, and she knows I will approve, or she will not ask. How wonderful it is to have a mother who operates in the highest possible spirituality in conforming her will to mine. You who call her a goddess are in grievous error. She is a created vessel of grace, completely committed to my will forever. What burns in her heart burns in my heart, for everything she thinks or does is done only within the complete conformity of my will. She is a perfect example for you till the very end of her life and now in heaven. Only a foolish soul would adhere to their own will and go on their own way with such a model and intercessor available to them. That is why Satan has turned a large part of the body against her. He hates her with a passion you will never be unfortunate enough to experience. Beloved, I am still here, the Lord continued, because I love you and I know you have missed talking with me. I have missed it too. The reason I have done this, bringing my mother forth as I have in the messages, is that I am teaching those who long for more of me, are not bound from seeing the truth in the scriptures, because of their standing in a denomination or by peer pressure. My precious, precious heart dwellers, do you know how very privileged you are? You are the ones that did not shut the door in my mother's face. You are the ones that desired truth in the deepest parts. You are the ones who chose to pursue truth rather than religion. You have no idea how very blessed you are, but someday in heaven, when you come through the gates as my mother's entourage, or should I say children, you will see just how much it means to me personally that you did not shut her down like the rest of the Christian body. But the day is coming when she will be brought forth to the world as the most wonderful saint on this earth and in my life. On that day, there will be no dry eyes. Tears from those who denied her mission will flow freely, and she will be exonerated. You are playing a very important role in sharing these messages. Lord, I am so honored. Ever since my second conversion and when I prayed a rosary, not knowing if what I was doing was right or not, just for you, heart dwellers, when I was sick of materialistic Christianity, posturing and politics, John Michael Talbot's music spoke volumes to my heart, and I began to research true Catholicism. In that process, I met St. Francis of Assisi and fell head over heels with this wonderful man who walked right in the footsteps of Jesus and Paul as well. This raw, humble, sincere Christianity absolutely sold me hook, line, and sinker. So one day, knowing that St. Francis spoke with the Blessed Mother, and she was a very big part of his life, I forced myself to pray the rosary. What happened next was amazing. After the second decade of the rosary, meditating on the life of Jesus, she stepped out of the statue I was kneeling before, and I saw her so very clearly. Her face was so sweet, and her presence touched my face in places that I had never been touched before. I was amazed and thought, oh, you are hearing me. Just then she disappeared and Jesus was there. Wow! Well, I began praying the rosary every day, and it always happened the same way. First, I would see her, then she would disappear, and Jesus would be standing there before me. I began to realize that she only wanted me to get closer to her son. She really wasn't all about herself. She was all about Jesus. She continually ushered in Jesus in a way that I was unfamiliar with. My relationship with him began to grow to new depths, and I became his bride. The second conversion was the most glorious thing in my life, besides the night the Holy Spirit apprehended me and I poured out my heart of repentance and felt God's love for the first time. I have written about my conversion experiences and how God overshadowed me in such a way that everything in the new age I had been practicing just turned pale and insignificant. Finally, I had found the real thing. Anyway, getting back to you, Lord, that was on the 5th of May, which Mexico celebrates as Independence Day, just like we celebrate the 4th of July. The Lord continued, that was a most glorious day for me as well. All of heaven celebrates when one sinner is turned back to God. You have no idea how smitten the angels were with everything that happened that night. Jesus, I can't wait to see it on the heavenly annals screen. And you will, beloved. Now back to the matter at hand. I have reached out and called to many. I cannot tell you the heartbreak I feel when they turn away from me and go their own way. You see, I know what is ahead of them, and I feel so badly for them. My people, I did not give you life to be wasted in the secular world. Some, yes, are called to that, but many others are called to live heaven on earth, even to meet a holy spouse, get married and have children, but not as the world does it, or for worldly motives. I have so much more in mind when I call a soul. I know what they are capable of. I planted innumerable gifts within them, gifts they have no idea they possess. The enemy is a destiny killer. They see some things in certain individuals. They see their parents and what their agenda is for their children. And they even use the parents' agenda to steer the child off the course I have chosen for them. You see, when you become a Christian and give your life to me by modern church standards, you are only in the anteroom. That is a room before the main room. You could equate it to the waiting room. I allow you to become familiar with me and my word, and I watch to see how you change your priorities from the world to mine. Some people live and die in the anteroom. In fact, most church-going Christians live their lives in the anteroom. But some get very tired with the agendas of the world that they must daily wade through. They become excited when they witness to others, and they want more. They begin to yearn for total consecration to me, to live the life I lived in Galilee. That is when they begin to look at missions and religious orders. Even during that time, they still can be divided, the way you were. You wanted to go to Holland with YM, youth with mission, but you didn't want to offend your in-laws, who just gave you a brand new station wagon for your three children and husband. You felt that if you alienated them, you would have nothing to catch you if you failed. You grew used to their support and were comfortable. It felt secure to you. So you turned my invitation down. My spirit visited you one night and you dreamt that you had missed a call from me. And he told you that I would call you again. After living a few more years, you grew really weary and wanted to change. Then I called you, and then you stepped out of the world, alienating all your family to follow in my footsteps, being led by the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi. When you did that, you left the anteroom and entered into the family room, my family of believers, who only wanted to share the gospel and live for me alone. Those of you who are listening in, my dear ones, many of you have settled for a secular life. You've been called, but you turned your back on me to follow what your parents and friends want you to do with your lives. Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Deep inside, do you feel alive and on fire for me? Or lukewarm and weak, still searching for something more? Chances are that if you haven't buried your talents too deep, you ache inside, knowing that fear stopped you, fear of being laughed at, fear of ridicule and criticism by those you respect. You see, when I call you, I equip you. Many of you have dreamt of art, music, theater, traveling the world and ministering. But you put those dreams in a musty old suitcase your parents used to live out of and got back to the real world. The world of cars, jobs, houses, things, a husband or wife, children, and the supposed American dream, which is like living in the Matrix. It's meaningless, except for promotions, the birth of children, on and on. You see, when you come to serve me, I strip you of all your worldly accomplishments and bring your soul to the rock-bottom level of you and I alone. And who you truly are, as well as who you truly aren't. You loose your own will, and I replace it with mine. Then I begin to train and bring you up into who you are truly meant to be. Claire is a good example. She was a nature photographer and had to hang up her cameras to follow me. Why? Because she had a much greater gift to learn, music and doctoring souls, which she truly loves to do. She knows the pain of being lost and not having any idea of who I made you to be and what I made you to do. She knows it well. She spent her first 40 years living it. One day it was sewing and decorating. Another day it was bonsai trees and gardens. Another season was ice skating, art projects, and yet another season was dance. She did all these things while in the waiting room. At first there was excitement. In all the disciplines she began, there were accomplishments and rewards from this world, but then it got old. You see, all these things, if they are not what you were born to do, have their season of excitement, but then it ends and a new thing is offered up to you, a thing that you fancy, but a thing that is not called on your life. By the way, Satan doesn't care what you do with your time, as long as it isn't building you into your destiny and working hand in glove with me. She still can be pulled off track with a distraction from time to time, but she doesn't stay there long. I allow her to drift to humble her, but then bring her back even stronger in her resolve to live only for me. So that is what you are missing, my dear ones. You have chosen to keep your lives tied up in your own agendas. But I do use everything you ever experienced. If you are wise enough to finally give up your own will, for instance, Claire's music can be very spatial and almost paint a picture of the surroundings, as it does in the Exodus album, because of her experiences in the wilderness. She hated typing in high school, but now she is communicating my heart for you with this skill. I gave her the gift of painting when she gave her life to me and was still in the ante room, and I have used it many times to convey a spiritual concept, even the portrait of my father and me. She wanted that gift when she was a child, but could never quite get past stick people. She didn't know I would give her the desires of her heart when she came to me, but she did learn that it was in the scriptures and was not surprised when I first told her to purchase an easel. I put a longing deep in her heart for living in the wilderness with other Christians who are on fire for God, and now she is living it. I am telling you, precious ones, you don't know what you are missing when you walk away from me with your own agenda. I always watch over you and love you, but I also grieve for your loss. You could have had so much more. I bargained with life for a penny, only to find that any wage I asked of life, life would have willingly paid. And that was the end of the Lord's message. My dear heart dwellers, let us say yes to the Lord and be about His business as time grows short.